excited for the one that saved me. Amen. He did more for me than any football player ever has. I take more pleasure and enjoyment knowing that I'm going to be with him. And I'm praying my children and grandchildren will be as well. Testimony of my children that they're saved. But my grandchildren, they're starting a life in, y'all help me right here, a rough world. And, praying for them. All right, chapter number 10 of the book of Luke, if you will. Take your Bibles and turn there. And a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. Luke chapter number 10, when I begin reading, you're going to be like, oh, I know this story. I know this story. So I'm going to have to challenge you. Don't turn me off. We tend to think that we know all there is to know about the Bible just because we read it one time. The Bible's called the living word. And you and I can learn every time that we go to a passage of Scripture. We can read the same verse over and over. I send out a devotion, and I don't know how many of y'all's noticed, but I flipped right back around, and we started going reading Psalm 119. And said, well, we've already read through Psalm 119. Yeah, but until we get a grasp of it, can we really leave it? What I like about Psalm 119 was over and over the psalmist is declaring his love for God's word. I need somebody to help me. How much better would this world be if we all had a love for God's word like the psalmist of 119? And so we've gone back and started that. And if you want to read along with us, I take 8 verses every day out of the book of Psalms 119, chapter 119. And you can read along with us as we go. But in Luke chapter number 10, if you're there, say amen. We'll start reading in verse number 25 and read through verse number 37. The Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a question a lot of people ask. Whether they ask it out loud or they all ponder it. I need somebody to help me. We've all sat and we've all wondered, what's beyond this life? If you haven't wondered that, then you're just different from everybody else. I don't know what to say, but most all of us have wondered what's beyond this life. And so this question wasn't out of indignation, maybe. I wonder if the man really wasn't honestly just trying to get an answer from the Lord as to how he could inherit eternal life. Verse number 26 says, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now, Jesus, on the other hand, he wasn't holding back no punches. Is everybody all right? So this man was a lawyer, and Jesus says, what's written in the law? You of all people ought to know what's written in the law. So what is written in the law? How read us? How do you read that? And so the man answers, and he said unto him, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a loaded verse. You may be sitting in here this morning, maybe thinking you got it all taken care of, but I promise you this, we won't get very far. It's about 2 or 3 lines into that verse right there, and you'll find out that you ain't nowhere near where you need to be. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. That means totally focused on him. Anybody in here like that? With all thy soul. With every bit of strength that you have, you're to love the Lord. And with all thy mind. Y'all better help me. This is one of the things we've been dealing with in our devotion is the renewing of the mind. Why? It's because of the mind. The mind is a problem in most of us. Jesus said it ain't what's on the outside of the body that defiles a man. It's what's on the inside. He said, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is everybody all right? And we got that thing backwards. We speak what we want our heart to believe, but the truth is what out of the heart our mouthpiece. And so we all, I'm just trying to put us all in the same place here this morning, so stay with me. I'm not putting you down. I'm saying we're all this way. There ain't none of us. There ain't no man that's ever accomplished loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, save for Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says, and thy neighbor as thyself. Notice it didn't say, and your neighbor also. You love that guy. It says that you are to love your neighbor and thy neighbor as thyself. So I'm to love God with everything that I have, and then I'm to love you as I love myself. Now we tend to think, well, I don't love myself. I hate myself, preacher. Yeah, that's real nice of you to say. But you spent time this morning fixing up yourself. I need somebody to say amen. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. Why? Because you didn't want nobody to smell your breath. You put on some deodorant. Why? Because you didn't want nobody to smell you. I need somebody. Amen. You put on cologne. You put on these nice fancy clothes. You come out, right? We take care of ourselves. Matter of fact, some of you got up early this morning because there was a free breakfast. Hallelujah. Now, breakfast tastes good when you go under them stores. But when you pay the bill, it don't taste as good. But when you come and you get free eggs and grits and bacon and sausage and pancakes and cherry stuffed French toast, orange juice, coffee. Man, I'm telling you. And then they walk out and they're like, no, you can't pay. It's all good. That tastes better. Everybody all right? So we ate this morning. We've taken care of ourselves. We love ourselves whether we like to admit it or not. And the Bible says here that we're to treat our neighbors as ourselves. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're to take care of our neighbors as we take care of ourselves. Y'all are already. Y'all want me to just give the invitation and us be done? Verse number 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. All right. Here we go. Verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I want you to notice something before I go any further. In this man's mind, he had accomplished the first part of that verse of loving God with everything that he had. He's now concerned with who else is he's supposed to love. Who's my neighbor? I've loved God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind. Who else am I supposed to love? That was the question. That was what he was getting at. I've done all this. Now what? What's left? Right? So Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. And departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? The lawyer answered, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just for a few moments this morning. Lord, get us in the right mind. Lord, the right mindset. Lord, that we may receive your word, and Lord, leave out of here changed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we look at this morning, I want you to look, notice first of all with me the characters of the story. The characters of the story. We have a lawyer. This is a man that's interested in knowing what he must do to inherit eternal life. He's asking a question. He says, what exactly do I need to do to inherit eternal life? I think that's a question that most have asked, if not all of us, have asked at some point in our life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to go to heaven? What must I do to avoid damnation or hell? This is a question that's asked by many. I would say this. This is a question that's on the mind of many in this day and time. We're living over the last year and a half, last year and 8 months, we've been living in a pandemic. We've been told about this disease called COVID that was released on over in China, and now all of a sudden it has made its way all the way across the world, and many people are affected by it. Many people are dying from it. And so the question is probably on the mind of everybody that you come in contact with. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, if I am going to succumb to this disease, or if I do by chance get COVID and die, where am I going to spend eternity? You ever thought about that? We get so wrapped up in our own lives and everything else, but do we realize as Christians that there's a lot of people out there that don't know what you know, and now they're asking questions. Why? Because death has become a reality. It's in their face every day. They put numbers up of how many people died, how many people are in the hospital, how many people this is affecting, why this is it, all these things. They give you a list of, hey, you might have COVID if your nose is running, if your eyes are blue, and if your hair is brown. And is everybody all right? I mean, they got so many symptoms to it that anybody could have it. And then you go in there and they're like, and Lord help you, Google. How many of y'all has ever Googled your symptoms and found out that you were already dead? Stop it. Hey, it is. But it's in our life right now. It's in our face all the time. Death is in our face all the time. This pandemic, if nothing else, it has served a purpose as to bringing an awareness to the fact that you and I aren't going to live forever. I need somebody got to hear me this morning. But the church has missed out. Church is running around scared. Church is running around trying to do this and trying to please everybody. And we've missed out on an opportunity. People are crying out and saying, how do I get eternal life? And the church is hid. Go to the church and it's Facebook Live services, online services, doors locked, not having this, not having that. Is everybody all right? We've missed out. We're more concerned about ourselves than others. So I asked the question this morning, are we really being neighbors? I'll get back to that. I'll get back to that here in a little bit. Characters of the story. We see a lawyer. We see a Jew. See the man that went down from Jerusalem or from Jerusalem to Jericho? He was a Jew. This story doesn't make sense if he's not a Jew. He was a Jew. He was a brethren to the lawyer that was asking the questions. And so for this man to be heading down, we see a brethren, one of the brothers, heading down to Jericho, which, by the way, this road was notorious for being a place of robbery. And so he goes down and we're introduced to another character, and that's the thief. And the Bible says that this thief was laying in wait. This thief took things from him. This thief wounded him. The Bible says this thief left him for dead. Can I say that that is a very good picture of Satan and how he treats us? The Bible says that he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says a thief is, Jesus said it, I believe it, the thief has come but to steal and to kill. Jesus said, but I've come to give you life and to give you more abundant. Is everybody all right? So we're introduced to a lawyer. We're introduced to a Jew. We're introduced to a thief. And then we're introduced to a priest. By his very office, he should have been the one that would have come and helped this brethren or this Jew that was beaten down and left in the road for dead. But the Bible says that he just passed by. Then came a Levite, one that worked in the temple, one that did the work of making sacrifice and atonement to God. And he comes by and he looks upon him and keeps on going. So we're introduced to a priest and a Levite, which is the world's religious system. And they just look upon him and I'm going to go over here and say that. You counting on religion to get you to heaven or get you eternal life, it will not. It will pass you by. If you don't have nothing, somebody better hear me this morning. Some of you got this mindset about religion. This ain't a religion. This is a relationship. You can't pay your way into heaven and religion ain't going to help you. Matter of fact, religion ain't going to do nothing for you unless you can do something for religion. I'm going to say that again. Religion won't do anything for you unless you can do something for religion. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. So we're introduced to a Samaritan. This Samaritan's hated by the Jews. This Samaritan, by Jesus bringing up this Samaritan, he done got all up in their grits. Is everybody with me? I'm talking about the lawyer, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, everybody that would have been sitting in that building all of a sudden is offended by this man being inserted into this story. But it was this man that was inserted into this story that becomes the hero of the story. Because this man, the Bible says, had compassion, or he did something about it. So we're going to look at that. Not only we see the characters of the story, but number two, we see, what did I write down? Y'all help me. I ain't told y'all nothing, have I? We see the characters of the story. I got to go back. The condition of the sinner. We see the condition of the sinner. The condition of the sinner, we see him. The Bible says that he was stripped of his raiment. The Bible says that he was wounded and he was left half dead. I got to thinking about this. And of course, y'all have heard me. If you heard me preach this before, you know that this is a story, I believe, of us. I believe that you and I are that one that is wounded, left in the ditch. I believe you look in life, the Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, every single one of us was in the same condition as that man that was laying there in the ditch. We were beaten down by the world, we were robbed from by the world, we were wounded by the world, we were left half dead. But then we see the compassion of the Samaritan. I'm moving quickly. But the compassion of the Samaritan. The Bible says that he came to where he was. He came to where this man was. He looked upon him. Is everybody all right? And he had compassion for him. The Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, this is a man having compassion. Now, let me go back. In the lawyer's mind, in the Pharisee's mind, in the Sadducee and the scribe's mind, in the Jews, the religious Jews' mind, they were justified in hating their enemy. As far as they were concerned, only Jews were their neighbors or had a possibility of being their neighbors. And that all depended on how they were treated by them. But a Samaritan had no opportunity whatsoever. And so this man, willing to justify himself, was trying to make it out that he had already accomplished the first part, and now he needed to know exactly the criteria or the people that he had to be neighbors to in the second part. And Jesus brings an enemy into this situation. A man that is hated by the Jews. A man that not one Jew would have given a drink of water to. And Jesus uses him as the hero of the story. He came to where he was. He looked upon him in his condition. And he had compassion on him. Let's go to the next verse, can we? We'll go to the next verse, and it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Grapefruit juice. Ain't that great? Is everybody right? I'll leave it at that. We'll go on. But anyhow, pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Look here. And took care of him. Now we go in this picture. We get the picture of this story and we see, hey, I did bring my Bible down. We see the characters laid out for us. We see ourselves. My Bible's falling apart. We see ourselves in the man that's laid in the ditch. But we see Jesus in the Samaritan. I want you to look with me if you will. The Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I think about Jesus leaving heaven and coming to where you and I are. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse number 14 of that same chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to where you and I are. Is everybody with me? We were left in a ditch. We were beaten down. We were stripped of everything. We were left to die. And he seen us and he came to where we were. The Bible says he had compassion on us and he went to us. He came to us. Once again, it says he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, which by the way is both a picture of the Holy Spirit in us, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Amen. Now that lawyer sitting there, he probably thought to himself, how in the world? Why in the world did he bring an enemy into this equation? Keep going if we will. Bible says this. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus asked a question, and I'm getting to the last point. Y'all better thank God. Jesus asked him a question. Keep going. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? The next verse, the man gives an answer, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. My last point, I'm done. I told you. The challenge of the Savior. This is the whole thing in a nutshell. He says, go and do thou likewise. This is the gist of the sermon. Put it all together. Here it is. We live in a day and time where people are interested and want to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We have a testimony that we were in the same condition as this man in the ditch, and we had a good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, that came and died for us. Amen. But the challenge is, will we do unto others as it's been done? Now, we all got our favorites and our neighbors that we're going to look after. But Jesus, I want you to notice that he didn't use somebody that they would have liked. I'm going to go over and say it on this side. He didn't choose somebody that they would like. Somebody needs to listen to me. You're all out of it. You done shut it all off because you've heard this story before, but you don't live this story. So you probably need to hear me preach it next week too. So stay with me. Jesus used an illustration of somebody that they would have hated. Somebody that they literally hated. Jesus used that for an illustration. 20 years ago, I was sitting in my recliner. Zachary had just been born, my youngin. He just turned 20. He's Camp Lejeune up in North Carolina in the Marine Corps. And I was sitting there. We just got home from the hospital, and I was eating cereal. Somebody say amen. Probably Frosted Flakes. I just ain't going to lie to you. But anyhow, I had my bowl of cereal, and I had just gotten up out of the bed because we'd been in the hospital for the last 3 or 4 days with Zachary and everything else. And on the news, all over the news, every single channel, they were talking about a plane that had hit one of the towers, the World Trade Center. I was eating my cereal, and all of a sudden my phone starts ringing. Are you seeing this? Yeah, I'm seeing this. While I'm watching this thing go on, you see they got a reporter, and while that reporter's going, you see another plane fly right into the other one. How many of y'all remember that? I'm sitting there on my bowl of cereal, and I'm like, what in the world's happening, right? At the time, I ain't got the gun collection that I had now. So I'm getting everything I can, ammo and everything else. Hey, if they come out in the woods, it's on. Somebody say amen. Know what was going on. But I can remember, this is 2001. I ain't long been saved. And I can remember, and some of you will too, the anger. I remember, man, I was ready to just kill everybody. Is everybody right? Let's just go drop a bomb on everybody over there. You know, it doesn't matter. Just everybody. Make sure all the bases are covered. I can remember the anger and the hatred that I had because of an incident that happened. And I can remember how it changed the way Americans looked at certain people. Only that was foreign. Now, Brother Sheldon, we're dealing with something that's at home. We got people running around asking you, have you been vaccinated? We got people running, is everybody all right? And what we're doing is we're creating this division amongst us. We're putting this person, we're pitting ourselves as enemies against one another when we're all here the same way and in the same condition. And we all need the same compassion. Y'all help me right here. We all need the same compassion show. That's not easy for us. I'm done. It's not easy for us. It's not easy for us to look at somebody else whom we necessarily don't agree with and and have compassion on them. But if you and I don't, who will? If there was ever a time in America that you and I need to be a neighbor to somebody, it's now. If there was ever a time that the compassion of God ought to shine through His people, it's now. So my question to you is, are you a neighbor? Now, I changed this around. Because Jesus changed it around. Did anybody catch that? The man asked, and who's my neighbor? And Jesus turns it around. And basically says, are you a neighbor?
That's right.
Did anybody else catch that? The man was so careful, Trent, about trying to figure out who his neighbor was, but he missed the whole thing. God was saying, it don't matter who your neighbor is. Are you a neighbor? Jesus said, hey, this guy did all of this. Which one do you think's the neighbor? Well, the guy that showed mercy. Well, go and do that then. Well, wait a minute. So who's my neighbor? Well, you're the neighbor. You're the neighbor. Stop worrying about who your neighbor is. Jesus wants you to be the neighbor. Stop worrying about who I'm to be a neighbor to. Jesus said, you just be a neighbor. It doesn't matter who it is. It don't matter if it's your enemy.
That's right.
Be a neighbor.
That's right.
It don't matter if you disagree with them.
That's right.
Y'all help me.
Come
be
on.
A neighbor.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if their viewpoints and their politics and their religion is different than yours. I got to get this group in because y'all ain't got it yet. You are to be a neighbor. We got enough dividing us.
That's right.
We got people out there that's wondering, how do I inherit eternal life? How do you inherit eternal life? Same way that I did.
That's right.
Everybody, I didn't earn it. It was by the grace of God. Jesus came to where I was at, September 28, 1997, and saved me. Ain't nothing special about my salvation. There wasn't no party. There wasn't no celebration afterwards. But there was a change. That morning, I called out on God. That morning, I confessed with my mouth and believed with my heart. And that morning, I got saved.
That's right.
And that's what people need to hear.
Amen.
We a year, 9 months into a pandemic. You would think the churches would be packed. Millions would be saved.
Yeah, right.
People are wanting to know about God. And here we are. God help us to be a neighbor to somebody this week. Find somebody this week that's struggling through this pandemic. Find somebody this week that's had to bury a lost loved one or had to bury a loved one. Find somebody this week that needs encouragement and, hey, be a neighbor to them. So, well, how do I treat them? Well, I'm glad you asked. What does it say in the law? I'm to treat them as I do myself.
That's right.
So if you're questioning how good you're to be to them, how good would you be to yourself? Heads are bowed with me. Let's find a way around the altar this morning because we all, I believe, we all need to be better neighbors. Not looking at who the neighbor is, but we all need to be better neighbors. Maybe you need to come and ask a question. Maybe the question doesn't need to be asked of God, who is my neighbor? But the question needs to be asked of God, am I a neighbor? And if you and I aren't a neighbor, then maybe today be the day we start committing to do better. That one that was a neighbor, that one that Jesus said was a neighbor, he came and he took care of him. He took him to a place. He got him to a place where he could get some help, that inn. I like to think of that inn as church. No matter what you think about church, or no matter what your feelings are about church, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the best people in the world I found in church. People that will love you. People that will care for you. People that are genuine, that genuinely care about how you are. What you need. Some of the finest people in the world. He took him to that inn and he left him there and he said, hey, whatever it costs, take care of it and I'll repay you when I come. He's coming back. This morning. Maybe as you sit in this building this morning, you say, preacher, I have that question of eternal life. Maybe you sit at night, maybe you sit during the day and you wonder, am I saved? Maybe you wonder, if I was to die right now, would I go to heaven? With nobody looking around and heads bowed for me, I want to ask you this question. If you died sitting in that chair you're sitting in, do you know where you'd spend eternity. Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you don't, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to lift your hand up. You ain't got to lift it up real high, just enough where I can see it. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift your hand up. Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody else? So be honest with this preacher. All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, all I seen was one, Lord. There may be others, and I may have missed it, but God, I've seen one. So, Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing, Lord, that it ain't my prayer that saves anybody. God, I pray right now for courage from this individual. Lord, I pray, God, they'd have the same courage as I did. Lord, today would be the day of their salvation. They step out of that seat and meet me down front. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed. This morning we got some folks that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We won't tell you what the Baptist Church says. We won't fill you with it. We won't give you a whole list of things you got to do. We'll show you from God's Word what God said you must do to be saved. If you'll let me do that this morning, I want you to come on to where I'm at. I'm right down front. I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. Is there anybody like that? Your choice. All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we sure are thankful, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that we would be the neighbor, Lord, that you desire for us to be. Lord, that we would see many saved during this pandemic, during this time of unsurety. God, I pray today we'd be a